Oh, yeah.
That's how I roll. Wait, hold on. Let me clench my fist.
Sometimes I feel.
Oh, no. Oh, what am I thinking of?
Through this world.
This is bad English.
I know it's bad English.
Well, you didn't know the words.
Why don't you shut your hole about what I knew?
What a mess.
Sometimes it seems, feels, wonders, whatever. I'm thinking of the price of love. That's what I'm thinking of. This is when I see you smile, right?
Yeah. Oh.
You know what sucks is this is my prom song.
Are you serious?
Not that sucks, but it sucks that I didn't know it because it was my prom.
What a quit the fight.
Yeah, this is my prom song. I should have known this. Picture me just dancing in like purple lilac smoke.
Everything's all right. Yeah.
I love this song, I really do.
This is like the best prom song ever.
Oh, you know I can do anything now.
Is that Kennewick attitude you graduated with?
Seriously.
Look out, world, before I come.
Holding it down for the 509, bitches. Yeah.
I was the 509, too. In Poland.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I see you smile. Up in his office, Dean Snyder's holding a lighter in the air and swaying back and forth.
See you smile at me.
You know, that's the thing. That the Tim Riley factor never did a power ballad. Sadly.
Whatever became of that?
Yeah, they all kind of faded away.
We got our dignity.
We're going to have a triumphant comeback at some point.
Oh, no.
This is a great song, man. Now, this guy, John Waite, sang for the Babies, I think. And then he had that, what is that song that John Waite had? What was his?
Somebody's Overcompensating.
Shut up! I knew it. I knew it was bad English. I just thought it was The Price of Love.
Oh, no. Ebony. Yeah.
We are here broadcasting in the studios of the new Movin' 107.5. Previously, Mix Rock Hits of the 80s, previously Mix Other Stuff in the 80s, previously The Beat, previously. So, we're just kind of going through their CD collection in the back. CDs, these are covered in dust. The Seraphim, these are sitting in the back, covered in dust, haven't been touched or used for years. All of this music.
Tim and I both, Tim had a huge allergy attack after.
Well, I had to leave it like 10 before 3.
That bad English is making me puffy.
See you smile at me. Sometimes I want to give up. I want to give in. I want to lose
the fight. Put the fight.
In your face, Sarah X. Dillon.
I didn't claim to know it.
Ha, poser. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson News Hour.
Stunning segue.
970 Solid State Radio.
Best show ever.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, I hate to ruin the move, but somebody tried to burn down the church with a bunch of people in the
They tried to burn down the church.
I'm going
to
sing every headline. Burning down the church. Woo! I'm burning a church. I'm going to sing every headline today. I'm going to echo every one of your headlines as though I were...
And I'm going to pick out some good ones.
As though I were John Waite from Bad English. No. Pick an 80s singer, Sarah. Pick some, like, 80s rock singer. And I will sing every headline. Axl it's all going to sound like Trey Parker. No, I can't do it.
I've been trying to burn down a church.
That burn.
Yeah, I
hear you.
I'm going to echo every one of your headlines like an 80s singer, though.
So let me tell you this tragic tale.
I'm sorry. Where? What church?
This happened in Salem.
Well, but they weren't successful. Salem, Massachusetts?
No.
Except it served
them
right.
Salem, Oregon, the capital of our fair state. Okay. Worship turned to terror as hundreds of churchgoers last night in Salem were treated to a man bursting into the sanctuary of the Salem church and began spraying the sanctuary and parishioners with gasoline.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And then set the church on fire. This became a big national story. This is child's play here.
Why haven't I heard about this?
Well, you have been listening to Noontime News Hour.
I feel like I didn't treat this with the proper gravity. I thought you meant like they just found some guy standing around outside with like a lighter.
No, it's never fun to burn down a church.
No, I'm not. Unless you're in Norway. I'm not, unless your name is Vlag. I, as a little joke for Chris Morris, I'm not saying it's right to do that, but I'm saying I didn't realize that he was inside dousing parishioners with kerosene.
Yes. No, gasoline.
Yeah, so whatever. Scene. Something.
Well, the man who ran the church in a cab.
After, look, I'm just going to be a minute. Keep the meter running.
He threatened the driver with a knife.
I'll burn you up. You stay out of here.
The suspect entered the cab around 7 o'clock, pulled a knife on the driver, forcing the cabbie to take him to the People's Church on Lancaster Road. This is in Salem.
It's
in Oregon.
I wonder if, like, on the way to the church, if he was nagging the cabbie about taking the fastest way there.
This is all wrong. You're supposed to be taking Wilkins.
We were at the People's Church, weren't we? Wasn't that right next door to Aaron's wedding, or was it?
No, you're thinking of the place where Christ is head.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to God, that's what it says. We were at Aaron's wedding reception over the weekend.
People took pictures of it.
They exist. They're on the net. By the way, if you go to rickemerson.com, you can see a picture of me posing next to Boba Fett at the wedding, where I don't actually look half bad. I don't photograph all that well, but I look decent. I got kind of a smirk on my face, but it's, you know, you had to post what I had.
You're talking about your expression in the picture.
No, I'm just saying, I don't photograph.
It
was just quiet dignity.
I don't photograph all that well, and I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm saying that I don't typically photograph all that well. But there is a photograph of me posing with Boba Fett, and I'm like my full-on Corleone outfit, and he's in, you know, he's a Mandalorian bounty hunter. And we're posed together outside the reception, but across the...
Oh, yeah.
See, it's not a bad photo. Uh-huh. It's not great, but it's not
Scott
bad.
Scott Daly's hanging out in the background.
And Scott Daly's in the background, like... If you didn't know that was his wife, that's Scott Daly, his expression sort of seems to be like, hey, hello there, would you like to spend some quality time at the church where Christ is head?
I'm famous.
But you may remember me from such programs as the Rick Emerson Show. But across the street is a church, and I swear to God, it says like blah, 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 church, and then underneath it in like handwritten script, where Christ is head.
Right.
All right, it's Tim Riley. I'm sorry. So
meanwhile, night to the church fire.
Threw gasoline on parishioners.
Well, he's still in the cab. We haven't gotten to that part of the story yet.
Okay.
We want to be descriptive about this.
All right.
So.
I'll just sit down.
Excuse me a minute while I clear my... away from these dusty old CDs.
That was really effective.
Was it? Well.
Anywho.
So they arrive at the church. They remember the cab driver. Wrestle around. The guy has a knife. They're wrestling on the ground. They're in the struggle. The cab driver gets cut in the hand. Then the suspect gets away, enters the People's Church at 7:30.
If you were a cab driver, why would you pick up a guy who was just lugging a bunch of gasoline and matches with him?
Well, aren't they all, really?
No, they're not. I mean, it seems like that's a fair...
People are usually up to no good taking a cab.
That is true. I got to tell you this.
If I was a cab driver, I wouldn't think of the best of my customers when they entered the cab.
If you're a cab driver...
I would be thinking, how am I going to save myself from potential murder this time for a cab fare? This is what my life has become.
How is it that I arrived? To this sad, sad place. It's not a big secret, but we have somebody, I guess I shouldn't say who it is, but we have a good friend of ours who was a cab driver who got taken hostage.
Right.
You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
No.
It was, I see.
So if somebody enters your cab, the first thing that comes to mind is, how can this person possibly kill me, and what can I do to stop it?
A friend of ours who was a cab driver, and a guy got into the cab, and he's like, could you take me to 7-Eleven and also do everything I say because I have a gun at the back of your head? And, like, made this person drive around for, like, 5 hours. Cab drivers, I mean this sincerely, cab drivers have my respect because that's...
That is one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous
job. And it's stressful, man. It's not even just that it's dangerous. I can't navigate my way to the bathroom and back. I've been in this building for 6 months now, off and on. Every time I try to go take a pee somewhere, I get lost. And I end up at Jeff McGinley's desk where he's just eating donuts and looking at Office Space porn. And he looks up, can I help you? And I'm just trying to urinate. Could you please point me in the right direction?
Doo-doo.
And then, I don't know where the hell I am. So, a cab driver, man, have we all taken cabs in New York City?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Cab driver in New York City, it sounds like such a cliche, but I mean, that is an amazingly difficult job because those guys don't have a GPS. And legal ad, maybe they do now.
They don't give a crap, though. I remember when I was there last
time. You were going where I take you.
No, we were just drinking and smoking in the back of the cab. They did not care. You didn't even bat an eye. It's like, just as long as you have the money, that's fine.
Well, no, that's the thing. Is like, and then you feel like an ugly American sometimes because you get on those New York cabs, and the cab driver, just like in every sitcom, has such a thick accent. You know, which route are you? I just need to get to Radio City Musical. I think it's going to get on. Okay.
And, you know, he's wrapped in rags like a mummy. You couldn't identify him if you had to.
Seriously. It's just a little eye slit.
Yeah.
Pardon me, Mr. Could you please? And it's just like a bunch of consonants. Mr. Could you please take me to... Hello?
Shut up. I cut your throat and I kill you.
This, the views of the Rick Emerson Show
are racist and horrible.
No, I wasn't going to. I wouldn't put it that way. Attention advertisers. Anyway.
So back to the, so far,
it is. We're still in the cab.
We're almost at the end of the first paragraph.
Is this like a role-playing game? Is it going to take us 8 hours to get to the church?
No,
we have to roll to see if we can get out of the door?
This isn't like some television news story that takes, 10 seconds to tell. And
we'd already be in the water skiing squirrel by now.
Right. Yeah. So this is a real story being told in real time.
And it's gripping.
It is. So, the suspect enters the People's Church at 7:30 p.m., just as the pastor was inviting those inside to greet each other. The Reverend Sam Miller, the assistant to the pastor, said the man was speaking nonsense and carrying what appeared to be gasoline. He was spreading gasoline on people, furniture, and carpeting as he went.
Why would you just sit there and let a guy spread gasoline on you?
I guess it happens.
Well, it's part of the Lord's plan.
Maybe. And he noted that the fires ignited as he spread the liquid. Miller said there were about 300 people in the church, and the man quickly tackled the suspect and then hauled him out as others beat down the flames. The suspect was taken into custody, but police said he was not immediately identified, according to Deputy Kevin Rue from the Marion County Sheriff's Office. The woman identified by a senior pastor is Arlene Anderson, suffering burns to her back and head, taken to Salem Hospital. Injuries not considered life-threatening. Another woman suffered minor injuries and declined to go. The fire damaged some carpeting and pews. Police said no one in the church had ever seen the man before. We think it's someone who was mentally deranged, they say. They're trying to determine the motive.
All right, are we done?
We're done.
All right, there you go.
Jokes?
Oh, no. No, I was joking.
I'm just positive.
I was not a...
Clever one-liners?
No one appraised me. No one appraised me at the beginning that it was such a serious story.
Oh.
I'm sure we
can find something humorous about it.
That's hilarious. Actually, no, and the woman was burned over 90% of her body. And then I feel like an ass. Oh, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Love me.
Oh.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Live from his honeymoon at the happiest place on earth, Aaron Geek in the City, newly married. Hello, sir.
Hello. Do I sound good?
Yeah, you sound drunk.
Yeah. No, all this screaming to get on the friggin' Price is Right, and we got bumped to standby, tons of bitches. Bob Barker.
It was Bob Barker can eat it. All I heard was a cur can eat it. I was sitting in a promotions meeting this morning, and it's actually funny because we were sitting there with your friend Prime. And let's all overlook the fact that we have a friend named Prime. And so we're sitting there in the promotions meeting this morning, and I got a text message from Aaron, and it's all like, in line for the Price is Right, woot, 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 and that was it. And so I made that, but you didn't get in, you got bumped?
No, we got bumped. Sucks.
Sons of bitches.
Oh.
Bastards.
Like a bunch of grandmas got, we got bumped for grannies.
You
don't look Midwestern enough.
I was going to say, you should have dressed like a Marine, son. That would have helped you.
I had someone in his uniform, but I was afraid that he would, I'd get my ass kicked or something.
Dressing up as a Marine to get at the Price of Right. That's got to be a felony
of
some kind.
I look like a Marine.
Yeah. So when you say you got bumped to standby for the Price is Right, what does that mean? Like, does one of the old women have to die for you to get in?
Yeah, pretty much. They have to cancel. Come back in a couple of hours and, maybe you'll get a seat. Maybe.
Did they do a pre-interview with you?
No, we didn't get that far. Our asses got up at 4:00 in the morning to do this thing. Nothing.
Yeah.
I really should have called Susan Reynolds, see if I could have got a hookup or something.
Susan Reynolds has got pulled. That's a CBS television program,
I know. We stood right outside CBS there, and that's as far as we got.
I'm sorry. So you all took the train to Disneyland, right? That's where are you staying at that hotel that looks like a big mouse?
We're staying in one of them. We're staying in there's three of them there now. We're totally staying there. And as cheesy as it sounds, it really is one of the best hotels I've ever stayed in.
No, Disneyland, as much as we kind of knock Disney in this program, those people know how to run something. They know how to put people up. So it's fantastic.
They know how to treat you like a white man. Oh,
yeah.
Awkward.
So what else is on the geek honeymoon agenda, my friend?
We're actually on our way to the LA County Coroner's Office. You want anything?
Sweet, the LA County Coroner's Office. They sell all that bitch and swag.
Toe tags and stuff.
Yeah, totally. As cheesy as
I think. I think they have a separate hand death certificate.
I was just going to say, celebrity death certificate I would take. Rick Emerson would take one of those.
They have one of them.
Black Dahlia?
Yeah, blacked out yourself. No, I would take that. I mean, you know, barring anything else, I would reimburse you gladly for a T-shirt from there. But, I mean, if you find something else that sort of screams me, feel free to pick it up. There are many ways in which Los Angeles is not like other cities. One of them, which is that they screen films in a cemetery. The other, which is the L.A. County Coroner's Office has its own swag and merchandise that you can buy, which is great. Yeah. So, do that.
That does seem like it should fit in Portland, though.
It really does.
The Coroner's Office having a film gift shop in Portland.
That's bitching. So yeah, if you can be picking up something there, we'll need something to commemorate your visit there. So excellent, my friend. Well, better luck getting onto the Price is Right.
Jeez, the other great thing is they stuck us in a Utah rental car, so every time we get cut off, we're effing Mormons.
Genius. Well, congratulations on having the best wedding ever, by the way. A bar that has been set so high that really any other geeks who are considering getting married ought to just live in sin for the rest of their life, because there's no way that they could ever. I was talking to Laura about it, and she's like, you know, I'm
sorry. They're on the moon. You know, they're not going to beam to their wedding chapel.
I told Laura that she pointed this out, that my wife is so glad that we got married before you guys, because there's no way that our wedding could have ever lived up. It just would have looked so cheesy compared to yours.
Yeah.
So enjoy your matrimonial bliss. Say hello to the lovely Jen, of course, and get us something cool at the coroner's office.
All right, tell you, we'll be back on Halloween, so.
Excellent. We'll see you then, brother.
All right, cool.
All right, there you go. Aaron, geek in the city, ladies and gentlemen, honeymooning in Los Angeles. Let's go back to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Sure, why not? Are we ready here for some sound bites?
There's only one way to find out.
Yay!
All right. Well, a big, huge fence to protect us from Mexicans is about to become a reality. the president has signed the Secure Fence Act, calling for construction of a 700-mile...
Is it really the Secure Fence Act? This sounds like some sort of legislation passed by Home Depot. What is this? Well, this is the one-stop seal Krylon for your deck act of 1992.
The president celebrated his signature.
This bill will help protect the American people. This bill will make our borders more secure. It is an important step toward immigration reform.
Okay.
Just bring longer ladders.
For all the world, I swear to God, he sounds like a fifth grader talking about what he did on his summer vacation. And then we went to see the Petrified Redwood. There was a place where you could drive a car through the middle of a tree.
This bill will help protect the American people. This bill will make our borders more secure. It is an important step toward immigration reform.
I have a dog.
He doesn't believe it.
His name is Freckles.
It.
Yeah, no, he has no idea what he's saying. He's just reading it off the page, and he's desperately trying not to F up, because Karl Rove will beat him if he gets off stage and having mangled it.
This is to remind us that the U.S. is a nation of immigrants.
Unfortunately, the United States has not been in complete control of its borders for decades, and therefore illegal immigration has been on the rise. We have a responsibility to address these challenges. We have a responsibility to enforce our laws. We have a responsibility to secure our borders.
And I love the idea that somewhere there's an Indian whose gross national income is like $4, sitting in a tent somewhere listening to George Bush talk about how for decades now, decades, This continent has had difficulty enforcing its borders. Decades!
Jim Riley. Well, this country only began, like, after the Second World War.
It wasn't
really, as far back as black and white film goes.
Wasn't really a country before then. Just
there were some people in the way.
Savages stringing beads.
Mm. Yeah. Meanwhile, the president reminds us this only covers two-thirds of our southern borders, so please don't go around the edges where it doesn't exist.
So basically, you're just going to walk a little further.
The bill authorizes the Department of Homeland Security to increase the use of advanced technology like cameras and satellites.
That is advanced technology. Yeah. My God.
Our infrastructure.
That's the stuff that dreams are made of.
The southern border of the United States.
Cameras. My stars. Yes, all right. So this is basically like a turnstile in New York now. They're going to sort of assume that you won't hop around it.
Right.
Okay. Fantastic.
Meanwhile, the U.S. says the goal in Iraq remains the same. Major General William Caldwell says the plan has changed.
The role of our forces is in transition. Our partnership continues to evolve as we have always evolved. The multinational force in Iraq has moved from a leadership role to a role of support and assistance to the government of Iraq.
General Casey reminds us that the goal has not changed.
The end goal we share with Iraqis remains the same. The building of a free and strong country with a representative government that respects and protects the rights of all its citizens.
You know, we're not even really able to make that happen in, like, Florida as of now. So, anyway. Rick, I have a question today. This is exceedingly important. Will Sarah be playing anything by Animotion? I must know the answer to this now, David in Southeast.
Perhaps I haven't gone through everything yet.
Do you know Animotion?
No.
Oh, you do. You know that song. You're my obsession. My one obsession.
Oh, la, that la, guy la, lives la, in town. La. I met him last
year. That's a woman, though.
One of the guys in the band.
Really? Is it Animotion?
Uh-huh.
You're not thinking of New Shoes.
No.
Everybody you meet in Portland was in New Shoes for like a week.
No, that Obsession song, I met the guy who was in... I thought he sang. I'm pretty sure there's a guy that sings, too.
I don't know. I only know that one song. That was the only song. And here's the one fact that everybody from my generation knows about Animotion. First of all, I am unclear about this. Is it true that... Does that Animotion song, Obsession, does it actually have that line about blah, 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 make you sleep with me? Is that actually what that song says?
I believe so, yes.
That seems... Even now, that seems a little blunt and risque. Yeah, I'm amazed that they got away with that, playing that on the radio in the 80s. You know, I got
to
tell you...
I think he was trying to shake up Nancy Reagan.
It's who do you want me to be to make you sleep with me?
Which is fine. I'm offended by it. It just seems like it's one of those things. It's very on the nose. It's to the point. In a way that I didn't think we were allowed to be, under the Reagan presidency. But, you know, it's funny that Sarah and I were in here before the show, and we were not listening to the AM 970 feed. We were listening to the New Movement 107.5.
We sure were.
And
everyone was feeling good.
We were all gyrating our buttocks suggestively at the camera and looking at...
I think Jeremy likes moving a little too much.
We were all getting ready to go to... Like a little too much. Is that like a clinical condition? Does Jeremy like the New Movement 107.5?
He was dancing around with his porn stash. He's one of our engineers.
Where was that kept anyway?
In a drawer. But we were listening
lock
to...
Lock or unlock.
I don't even know what's... No, porn... Like a mustache. Not a porn stash like a pile of pornography. No, I...
Oh, I thought that was a message that you were indicating.
Yes, his arms were laden down with VHS tapes.
He can't make it through the hall.
Yes. Pardon me, I'm coming through with my porn stash. I'm going to get a hold of this, though, we're a woman.
I have a feeling emergency meetings are being called at this moment.
It really is. It's just a pile of video cassettes formed loosely into the shape of a human figure. And he just gets on top of it and grinds. this is the best porn ever.
We're sorry we invited them here.
this whole program, by the way, is dedicated to Laura Klein and Human Resources. I have to say, no, but so we're in here before the, and then we got a break. We're in here, best show ever, listening to the New Movement 107.5, all fancying a trip to a Starbucks somewhere. And they were playing this song, and I forgot, I went through, right down the lyrics. I don't even remember what the song was, but it was something, it's just like, stuff that, like, if you're Richard Marx, you could never get away with singing. You know what I mean? It's a whole lot of, girl, I want to get my sex on with you. Ow, girl, you so fine, I got to rub up against you repeatedly and in a forward motion, up and down, woo, 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 and then there's like a keytar solo. Anyway, my thing about Animotion is... that's the only single that I even know about it. I'm sure that they had other singles. But that's the only song I'm in. Because the one fact that everybody in my generation knows about Animotion is that the lead singer for Animotion, who was a woman, at least on that song, was married to Richard Marx. And so Richard Marx was married to the chick from Animotion. That's all I know. There you go. That's the extent of this. It's like that thing about, that's the 80s version of blah, 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 blah. Did you know that You Ought to Know is written about that guy from Full House? Ha ha. And then you go into a break. That's Sarah hitting the microphone with her hand for no real reason. All right, we should break here.
Let's do it.
Let's wait. Hold on. Are we going to see if I can... What is this?
The New 970 AM.
Lifestyle 970. The bright choice. What is this? What is this?
Oh, you can't fight this feeling anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
Uh-huh. Oh, and I hit the vocal, too.
REO Speedwagon. I'm actually not the big, or as we called them growing up, REO Spankwagon.
I'm coming back from the break with the best song. I was going to put it now.
Best song that is coming up.
That is a great guarantee. Listen to you guaranteeing. We should never
leave
the studio.
We could all be DJs.
Let's lock the door. Let's tell them we're not moving back to coin.
Let's do a three-person morning show with music.
You know, they really... You know what the CBS really ought to do? If they were really bright, what they ought to do is just... not even... They wouldn't even have to double the start. Just give us like a 20% bump and tell them we'll come in and do a kooky morning show every day. We'll come in and do a really zany, wacky morning show every day. Seriously, have different names. Well, because, you know, the demo for a station like that would never listen to AM 970. They would never listen to this station.
Hmm. Did they have have a kooky morning show.
This is the part when, like, when the girl is putting the head on the boy's shoulder and, like, the paper streamers are dangling from the ceiling. And there's, like, those spots of light all over the, all of the gymnasium floors. You're dancing underneath a basketball hoop.
My eyeliner is darker than your eyeliner.
Is that a pen in your pocket? Don't fight that feeling. Stay right here.
We have traffic and weather together coming up next. We just need a handful of phrases and we can make a money show. I'm sure the cars are in some drawer somewhere.
We're going to play Battle of the Sexes next. And Larry, Mary, and Gary coming back on your work day.
We're going to play high-low.
Get that sound.
Oh.
Sorry.
How would you like to win a color television?
28 minutes before 1 o'clock. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there. We're going to be back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Hello.
Hello. It's the best song ever?
It's the best song ever. What song do you think I'd come back with?
Okay, we just played is it REO Speedwagon?
No.
Okay. Let's see. 80s, obviously?
Yes.
All right.
Power ballad.
Power ballad?
It is.
In the traditionally accepted version of definition of power ballad, which is sort of the Every Rose Has Its Thorn kind, you know, with the light acoustic sections,
it's
heavy.
It's more of a rockin' power ballad. Like it has the momentum building, and then
okay. At any point, does it have any moment of the song where the drums do this? Doom, 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 doom. Like does it? Is that how they? Does it have
the drums do this? They're like when it's building up.
Oh, it has the build.
Yeah, it has the build.
Is it Sister Christian?
It sure is.
Yeah, look at bitches from the drums. From Sarah's imitation of the drums that she did by pounding on a Formica countertop, I guess that. Let's all hear it for me. I have this on 45.
I love this song.
Sister Christian, oh, the time has come.
I'm here to buy some cocaine.
And you know that you're the only one to say.
Sorry, next to the porn stash. Okay. I'll listen to those Are you doing like your own personal sort of dance to this? Do you have hand motions to go with the song?
I do.
Sarah just did this. Sarah just cupped her hands her eyes as though she was looking through a Viewmaster.
Do you see? I said it's true with him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Wait, here we go. And this is where the curtain comes down to the show.
Hello, Cleveland!
Fantastic. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program on AM 970 Solid State Radio, broadcasting from the studios of the new Movin 107.5. It's formerly the home of thousands of songs that sound exactly like this.
Couldn't we make some sort of mutant show where it's like an 80s, like we can have
an 80s talk show?
Talk show, yeah.
I suppose we... What about that kooky John Hinckley?
We basically are. Yeah, we talk about your long-lost childhood all the time.
Pine for my lost youth. We should totally do... can I just tell you about an idea that Clyde and I had? Clyde and I had this idea for the longest time, which is still a great idea. I had to sell this to Michael Harrison at Talkers Magazine. Clyde and I had this idea for a radio format, and it would be a weekend syndicated radio show. And by the way, this idea does belong to us. Here's a thing I had made.
This joke copyright 2006 Rick Emerson Show.
There you go. So this, it's more appropriate now than ever. Clyde and I had this great idea for a radio format, which would be called, wait for it, Classic Talk. Because there's classic rock, right? And there's classic whatever. There's a classic alternative now. And there's a classic... there is classic rap now. There's KDAY in Los Angeles. Hits from today and back in the day. So we decided that what's the only format that's not currently exploiting everybody's nostalgic feelings for their youth, which is classic talk. Mm-hmm. And it's not enough to sustain a weekday show. Like, you couldn't do it every day. But you could do a syndicated Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Sunday evening radio program in which all of the music was period music from the 80s. or even from the 70s, and then all of the topics you discuss are the big hot-button issues and news stories from that week in, like, 1985. So you would talk about the space shuttle exploding. You would talk about the ERA. You would talk about John Hinckley Jr. You would talk about Ronald Reagan. You would talk about, you know, whatever, the music that was really big in that week. It, classic talk. It's the best idea, and it's one of those things that somebody will do eventually. So you're absolutely right. That idea of doing some weird hybrid 80s music talk show, it's not as crazy as it sounds. That's one of those program ideas that I'm talking about right now and that I've been talking about for years that somebody will foist upon the American people sooner rather than later. So you know, you heard it here first.
This show, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Jim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
I bet somebody right now is putting together an audition tape to drop it on your desk at 1 minute before 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
Dear program director, I have a shrill and unlistenable talk show laden with static that I would like to put on the air. Buried beneath these hundreds of decibels of hiss is a very fine radio program. Can I interest you in airing this on Saturday afternoons?
All right. We're going to go to Bank B in just a few minutes.
I mean, like... this is like that other guy. Rick, I have a program which entails me getting drunk and looking at the pornography in the studio. Is this something that your advertisers and demographic would find desirable?
Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, anyway, Mariah Carey's concert has been canceled in Hong Kong because, well, there are few ticket sales and the pop star had unreasonable demands, although they're not saying that. It had a substantial advertising campaign, but nobody took the bait. Hits by the 36-year-old Grammy Award-winning singer include...
And also... And also...
And flailing like a mad woman.
That's funny, see, because she sings in a really high register.
She does. Meanwhile...
Ha! Jokes is what those are. It's hilarious. Hello.
Dick Clark apparently gave permission to sell all his stuff.
Well, he's not using it anymore. Leave me the bedpan, though.
Well, really?
And this one pair of pants. Yeah. And this cane.
The one with the big spot on it.
All right.
Well, he's going to auction off all his stuff. Some goes back to 1956, including the first day of his rock and roll show.
Do you suppose that he really gave permission, or was he just trying to ask for a sandwich or something, and they just sort of assumed that he meant sell all my things and keep the money?
That could be.
Really, he was asking to be turned over.
Can I please have a tried pair of trousers? Oh, sure, Nick, we'll sell everything in the warehouse.
He was really just asking for a sore to be attended to.
That's genius.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
These crackers are awful dry.
He'll give you 5%. No problem.
So he has Michael Jackson's glove, to mention one thing, an old microphone, and a guitar, some old memorabilia.
Dick Clark Griswold. All right, there you go. Yeah, see, I never came up with one. They did 2 days of people calling up with that. I never came up with it. That's mine, Dick Clark Griswold. All right. Andy Dick Clark.
Okay,
now I got to stop now. Don't call. Don't call. Don't call. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, who wouldn't want John Kerry's help in promoting their candidacy?
I can't imagine.
Let's see. Oh, they couldn't get John Kerry, so they got somebody named Bob Kerry to speak for Senator Lieberman, who really needs the help. Kerry told the crowd that he respects Lieberman immensely.
I look for people who have the capacity both to tell me what they believe, but have also demonstrated a capacity and willingness to listen to what other people are saying and look for common ground.
You know, here's the thing is, we don't have any sound cuts from Joe Lieberman here, but somebody really nailed this the other day. Somebody sent me an email about Joe Lieberman, and they described exactly who he sounds like. Exactly. And it's not Sigmund, Zoidberg from Futurama, although he does sound a lot like him. It is Willie Tanner from ALF. He sounds exactly... Alf, I need you to not eat the cat. I can't do the voice. But it's exactly like Willie Tanner from the old show Alf on NBC. That is what Joe Lieberman sounds like. If you gave me some sort of auditory taste test between the two, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Congressman Mark Foley's fondling preacher is in trouble for allegedly fondling another alleged altar boy. Some 30 years ago at the same church. The alleged victim's lawyer, Jeffrey Herman, gave details his client shared with him.
While they're in this room, Father Mercieka started to touch John Doe's privates, touched his penis, started to fondle him. He pushed his hand away, and Father Mercieka said, "No, it's okay." and he unzipped his pants and then performed oral sex on him.
Ah!
What? Oh. Why do we have to hear that?
I didn't really anticipate it going that. Well, here's what the audio cut is labeled. It's labeled Merciessa Fundle.wave.
Fundle 1.
Fundle 1.
There is Fundle 2 and Fundle 3, which I did not include in this newscast.
Fundle 3? I'm going to need to get a breakfast first. Come on, that's funny.
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Okay. Well, in any event, I didn't see the unzipping and the performing coming there, though. That was sort of a hairpin turn.
I didn't either, because we're not sitting to listen back to these people.
Because he's picking the blind.
While they're in
Let's
room,
listen again.
Father Mercieca started to touch John Doe's privates.
This is the best part right here.
Venus started to fondle him. He pushed his hand away, and Father Mercieca said, "No, it's okay.
No, it's okay. I'm a priest."
His pants.
I've been doing this since the days of Mark Fulton.
All right. So, there you go. Unzipped his pants.
Yeah.
Moving forward, let's talk to Brian. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Have you ever seen A Mighty Wind?
A Mighty Wind, yes, I have. The Christopher Guest film.
Yeah, Eugene Levy's voice in that. Joe Lieberman.
Totally. No, I can totally see that. It's just sort of like it's not as advanced as Imus, but like it hurts to open your mouth to talk all the way, and so you've got to do kind of you're halfway to being Dr. Hafer from The Man with Two Brains. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. Let's talk to Andy. Andy! Oh, wait.
Hey,
no,
Rick. Andy!
Yes, you're on the...
Tell me about your big butt.
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Andy.
Sorry, I had to do that.
Okay, that is hilarious right there. That beedoop, that's
this
funny.
This show, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
All right, how can I help you?
Do I get tickets for something now? I don't care what.
No.
Okay, all right, damn. Hey, I was going to say, House of Midnight. I went there, and Sarah, if nobody will go with you, if Nate won't go with you, I'll go with you.
Andy, go with you, baby.
Thanks, Andy. Well, yeah, I'm going with a couple of my girlfriends.
You wouldn't want to go, Andy. It's just going to be Sarah and like five hot girls. You wouldn't enjoy yourself at all.
Oh, you're right. Well, last weekend, I went with my 13-year-old daughter, and, you know, we watch a lot of scary movies, a lot of horror movies, and I think I was more frightened than she was. Just, you know, she was holding on to me, I was holding on to her, going to the house of... the hatchet house. We went to the hatchet house. And I was legitimately frightened. My heart was pounding. It was a great thing.
Oh.
Now, let me ask you
this.
I
don't want to go.
Without being too specific, what does hatchet house consist of? Well, I mean, what sort of... Because I'll be really honest. We've been talking about it. Dennis went there. Sarah's going there. And I feel like an ass that I haven't gone there yet. I've been putting it off. And I'm going to go this weekend with my wife. But so there's House of Midnight, and then there's Forest of Fears or Fangorn Forest or whatever the hell it is,
right.
And then there's Hatchet House.
Forest of Fear.
So what is Hatchet House? Is it like a separate place altogether? How is it set up?
It is. It's basically two little houses sitting right next to each other underneath a tent, and there's a door to get in Hatchet House, there's a door to get in Forest of Fear, and there's two separate exits as well.
Okay.
Two completely separate things. And like you said, without getting too specific, there's no real blood and guts and gore, which I was kind of disappointed in. I thought Hatchet House, well, let's see somebody, you know, get something lopped off. But that didn't happen.
So what is it?
Well, it's a bunch of things that startle you. Just kind of, that kind of thing, you know, that'll make
you... Suspense is killing me.
Make you wet yourself.
All right, excellent. Okay, there you go. That'll be the tagline. I'll make sure to use that in the latest, things that'll make you wet yourself. Your bowels will lose all of their elasticity and control. Go see them now. This is, we've got...
Was the end? Because we went to the Hatchet House and not before...
The end. It's like this program. The very best thing about it is the end.
Well, there's somebody waiting at each exit, you know, I guess, to make sure you come out alive.
Just push you back in.
To hit you with a stick. Just to jam something sharp into your eye and then kick you in the nads.
The guy walks up to us real creepy and says, "Oh, I see you made it through the forest of... Oh, crap! Hatchet House. Damn it! I hate me." He turns around and just walks away.
All right. Andy, that was a great... Oh, I'm sorry. Sadly, we're losing your... No, it's looked up. Damn. Oh, we've tried to... And...
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, I guess that means the performer at the exit for the Hatchet House has been replaced.
Is there something? Are we having not problems with the phone, but is there some sort of a lag time with the phones? Am I the only one? Am I imagining that?
No, you're not.
All right, okay. Just checking.
That is not your imagination.
All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley. We'll break. We'll come back. Now, here we got more. Here's what's coming up today. Just a brief overview today. We have more tickets actually to House of Midnight, so we'll do some more of that. Name that leftover CD that's just sitting in the 107.5 studios for no real reason. We have more from Tim Riley. We have Bob Costantini. Is he at one?
Yes.
Oh, we got to get cracking then.
No, 1:15.
1:15. Okay, we got Bob Costantini coming up. We have Jim Roop who's going to join us later on. And I got all these emails about like 80s crap to get to because we are in the house of 80s music today. Here's another song. Can I just tell you this? Does this sound like a Christmas song to you?
It does. Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like, do they know it's Christmas?
I can see
that. XTC song.
And B, I had never heard this song until I met my wife. So this is another one of those songs, not unlike 8675309 and Forever Young by Alphaville, that is brand new to me still. I mean, it's like, I've heard this like 1/50th as much as everybody else in the world because I was never listening to this kind of music when I was growing up. All right. Elizabeth Mastro, Antonio Banderas. All right, yeah, that's hilarious. Do remind me. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio, broadcasting for the studios of Movin' 107.5 today. We're going to be back with more from Tim Riley, more from Bob Costantini, more from y'all. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. We are back after this. You stay right there.
I can't help recalling how it felt.